Chris Perillo Show coverage of South by Southwest is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. Register a domain name today at GoDaddy.com and save 10% with coupon code Chris1. That's C-H-R-I-S and the number one to save 10%. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
Love. Exciting and new. Come aboard. It's been expecting you.
Can you get any more dramatic? Come on.
Well, I could get more dramatic, but... Okay, then you come up with a way to introduce it, then.
Bloggers in Love.
Well, that was stupid. Now, do something like...
That's what everybody says. The Canadian said it. The South by Southwest people are saying it. What else is it?
So, obviously, we're here talking about love in this particular interview. It's going to be a foursome. So, I guess it's going to be our first foursome. Your first foursome too. Okay, great. So we've had threesomes before on the interviews, but this is our first foursome. Ponzi, as you have heard a couple of seconds ago, and myself, and Tara Hunt from you might know her from Bria, like is the easiest way to explain it, and then Chris Messina, who you might know from Bar Camp or the Internet. Yes, exactly, the Chris. Oh, you're still not the first Chris.
No, not yet.
I'll give you a couple years on that one, and then you know you'll be able to topple. So we're talking about love because Ponzi and I are. What's that look? Okay, was she thinking about love? Okay, I thought it was kind of like, oh God, what is he going to say next?
Jeez.
Nothing. Okay, so apparently we're in love. I mean, there's no apparent about that. And we did a panel yesterday about being in love and blogging the experiences when you might not be in as much love as you are sometimes. As in, when you argue, sometimes it gets posted to the web, and then the internet gets to find out that you are human. And a couple of people who were sitting in there happened to be in love as well, Tara and Chris. And so we thought we'd find out from them what it's been like. First of all, not only what it's been like, but how you two actually met. Was it on the internet?
No. We met because of the internet, but not through the internet. We met at Tag Camp. Well, actually, we had sort of seen each other in the internet community, the online, Brat Pack 2.0, like we like to call it, community, previous to it. But at Tag Camp, we had our true connection. So, yeah, it was internet connected, but it wasn't through the internet.
It was internet enabled, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, was it love at first tag?
Yes. And the tag was Technorati.
Yeah, I guess if you want to use a metaphorical sense of tagging, it was kind of funny. I don't even remember like exactly all the details, but I remember you had asked for a Technorati shirt. You saw a Tontex, I think, or something, and you were like, oh, this is a really cool shirt. I wish I had one. And lo and behold, something, you know, I don't know, I think I blacked out or something, and all of a sudden I was handing her like this Technorati shirt.
His Technorati shirt, in fact.
Wait, did you take it actually off your body and then hand it to her? Is that how it happened?
That would be cross-posting, and we don't allow that. So, no, but I did give her my shirt, and, the one that I was holding. And, there were other things. And actually, she tells the story much better.
Yeah, I mean, I was seeing the shirt. I thought, I was whining pretty much, saying, I don't have a Technorati shirt. Everybody has a Technorati shirt except for me. And then all of a sudden, there was this arm, you know, like the painting of the hand of God? It was like this arm, you know, the angels thing, and attached to that arm was Chris handing me this.
I don't know whose arm it was.
Yeah, I don't know, but he was behind the arm, and he was handing me the Technorati shirt, and it was weird. It was like one of those weird moments. I never really had it before.
What, a Technorati shirt or
both? yes,
but.
Yeah. Okay, no, I have had that feeling before. It was like this pair of shoes that I once saw in a shop in New York.
Wow.
So wait, so the feeling of the Technorati shirt, you had the feeling like the shoes or Chris?
The shoes were amazing. But Chris, yes, it was bigger. It was bigger than the shoes, but the shoes were pretty amazing. Anyways, back to the story.
You apparently know Imelda over here.
Mm. Yes, I'm digging her shoes. Those are great. Yeah, those are really nice. But yeah, he handed me the shirt, and the sort of like the whole Tag Camp scene around us sort of melted away, and I felt an instant connection, and I guess he did too. And the next night was a wrap up dinner, and I was eating some greasy food, and right at the moment I was thinking, geez, I should get a napkin and wipe, you know, the the grease from, you know, my hands, there was a napkin once again, like the ta-da, the arm of God. Like he leaped.
I want a Chris like that. What? Come on.
You have a Chris like that.
No, I had to pay for the coffee on the first coffee date.
That wasn't my fault. They didn't take credit cards.
No. That's not fair.
Okay, who got sick on the first date? Was it me? Oh, that's right. It was you.
Because I had to pay for the first date.
No, you didn't have to pay for the first date. You bought the coffee because they didn't have it. And then we went to Joe's. What was it? What was the famous deli?
Let's go back to the good love story.
No, see, exactly. As soon as I bust your chops, then I got to go back to them. All right, fine. So the hand of God comes. I'm sorry. The hand of Chris comes in.
Yeah,
and if that is the model after. Yes. Okay. The other Chris comes in, modeled after God, and you have a napkin now to wipe the grease off.
Yes. It was a beautiful scene. Really, the grease, the napkin, him throwing himself across a bed of chicken wings to do so. It was hot. It was really, I mean, I knew at that
moment. And spicy with the chicken wing.
And spicy. I knew at the moment he was the one.
Sweet and sour all at once.
Sweet and sour all at once. There you go, Chris. So is that how you remember it too, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, the early part was just so fast, I think. I mean, that was sort of like the kickoff, you know, and that there still was a lot of uncertainty. I don't know if you want to tell the part about your situation.
Not
at that.
Sure,
all right.
Well,
all right. I think she should.
Controversy. All right. Here, we're going to run to this one.
You know, there were these two moments, right? And they were obviously somewhat inspired by serendipity. But I kind of disavowed all knowledge, in a sense, of whatever significance they might have had because it's the time she was married. And, you know, not wanting to.
I have to interrupt because at the time that we met, she was married.
Interesting.
Actually, we both were married, but not like, okay, wait,
separated.
We were separated. Uh-huh. And I had already filed for divorce, and she hadn't yet filed for divorce, so it's not as bad as you might think.
All right, well.
Well, this was.
Well, this is even worse. Okay, well, then.
Drama,
and back to Chris.
Well, I don't know if we should tell too much before all the paperwork settles.
Tell as much as you.
You know, so this happened, and so, you know, I was basically like, all right, you know. I'm going to, like, disbelieve this is happening and so on and sort of ignore this. And I think, I don't know, was it like a week or something later or when?
Yeah, we saw each other a few times in between that moment and the moment that we were like, okay, we can't, like, ignore this. First of all, the next day there was, I was at Coffee to the People, which is like a regular coffee hangout for the geeks in San Francisco, and I was wearing an Odeo shirt, and Chris walks in wearing the Odeo shirt as well. And it was like, there was a photo on Flickr. It was like our first photo together, yeah. But it was kind of awkward because I didn't know what to do, you know, and nothing had been said. It was just this feeling. And we were with a bunch of other people, too, so just sort of clowning around, geek style, IMing each other back and forth. And then Tuesday was Net Squared Tuesday, where there was a bunch of presentations on what people in the geek community are doing for the not-for-profit community, and Chris was one of those presenters, and I happened to show up, and he was presenting, and I was like, okay, well, this isn't just a feeling, he's a wow guy. Like, he's not just good at handing me stuff when I need it. He's actually, like, pretty damn cool, too, because he's working on all these projects that I really believe strongly in as well. So tried to ignore him again that night, but then couldn't get him out of my mind. And as I said, I was the relationship was going to end, but it hadn't been officially ended yet, I guess. So there was a lot of, you know, negotiating at the time. It was kind of messy. And so trying to keep a good head about it. Well, Thursday was the Supercilious launch party. And when you hang out with the Supercilious people, there's a lot of beer to be drank. And I guess one of the characteristics of beer is that any sort of common sense you may have floats away. So when Chris showed up later that night, and actually you can tell that part of the story because it's actually another really interesting serendipitous moment. Yeah.
So basically, I was working late. Like, we had sort of, I had agreed that we were going to go to the Super Silly's party or whatever, like, you know. And I just had so much stuff that I was doing that I just couldn't make it out of the office. And so I like, ran to the train, and, like, I think, I don't know if I caught it or if it was later, whatever it was. I ended up, I think, getting into to San Francisco from Palo Alto around 11 p.m. And, you know, went immediately to where the Super Silly's party was, which was a couple blocks away. And by the time I got there, there was, like, nobody left. I was like, you know, what the hell is going on? Like, nothing's here, you know? And I think I texted Ryan King, and I was like, where are you guys? Or I called him up or something. And he's like, oh, you know, we decided to move on to, what was the next thing? I don't know, some other party or, you know, going to the bar or something. And he's like, yeah, you know, we're down the street. We're getting a cab. So I started walking that direction. And as I came to the corner, like, I saw them, like, you know, a block and a half away, like, getting into a cab. I'm like, shit, you know? So, like, I started, like, running, and right as they, you know, were about to close the door, you know, like, I like, hopped in, you know? And, of course, you know, for them, like, it was like I just came out of nowhere again. So, it was really kind of weird, yeah.
The body of God came into the cab then.
Jumped in the cab, exactly.
Well, he literally, you know, I think in that case, you know, God or Yahweh or whomever, you know, just, like, picked me up and tossed me across, you know, these, like, you know, five blocks that I could in no way have ran across, you know, in that amount of time, so.
And I had no idea that Chris and Ryan had been talking. I just knew I was traveling with these people to the next bar, and I don't think Chris had saw me get into the cab. He just saw Ryan getting into the cab. So all of a sudden, he jumped in. I looked over. Chris was in the cab. And I said, it's Chris. And he said, it's Tara. And then we were there in the cab, and then it was, like, kind of, like, silence, like, at this moment, I was drunk out of my skull. So, I mean, in the 3 minute,
just as long as you didn't hand him your shirt at that moment, I think we're going on an okay route here.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. I think but the shirt was yeah. That was a whole
babe.
That's a different kind of podcast altogether. But
this is not Don and Drew. Hello.
Bow, ba-chow, bow. Yeah. Anyways. in the 3 minute cab ride, I mustered up the courage, which didn't take a lot because I had a lot of liquid in me, to say something when we got to the bar. And so we got to the bar, and I was like, hey, you know what? There's something happening here. And I started, you know, saying there's something, and I don't know, and this is complicated, and I've got all this stuff going on, and, you know, tell them what you told me, what you had done on the Caltrain on the way there.
Oh, I think, was this the email?
Yeah.
So this was, like, before we did, you know, like, confirmed anything or said anything, you know, again, to verify, right? And I was still kind of, like, in denial and stuff because of, you know, certain situations. And I had actually, you know, written up an email that kind of expressed, like, you know, what I thought was going on and all these things.
Said he had a crush on me.
It's just, yes, I did. Yeah. So that was kind of like, you know, my acknowledging to some degree that, hey, you know, I can't quite ignore this and keep running into you like this. So.
Yeah. So, you know, we were sort of at that point, and it was like, all right, let's go somewhere and talk. And so.
And then you made a mashup camp. Right? On the spot? Like, totally impromptu, right? Is that the word the kids are using these days? Mashing?
Actually, that phrase is trademarked, so yeah, we'd have to do a mash pit.
Yeah, that's a whole other, But, you know, it's what's really amazing is from that point forward, I don't know, like, we just align on, I know this, you know, it's not as...
Right or left? Which alignment did you take? Or center?
Yeah, center.
I think more left of center, though.
a little padding left, I think.
We align on everything that we're passionate about. And it's not that he's passionate about something and then I go, okay, I'm going to jump on board with you. It's like, oh, my God, me too, kind of, you know, that aha moments, those aha moments that we have with each other. And I mean, we had our first fight online, which
It was actually a fight offline, but it was ironically, well, and this is one of the funny things that you guys sort of, like, you know, do where a fight kind of continues after the fact, is that, like, she, like, and, you know, I mean, maybe there's no judgment in this, but she was concerned about her Technorati stats being updated, because at the time we were having sort of a friendly competition, because we
were very close.
Yeah.
In the Technorati stats. So,
she had hit like 5,000 before I had, and then, you know, she hit 4,000, and, you know, then I, you know, hit it after that. And, you know, I really figured that she'd always be ahead of me, and that was fine with me. But then, you know, Technorati started getting flaky, and it wasn't being updated, and, like, you know, it was stalling out, and it was just, like, really nerve-wracking.
It was being updated, and I wasn't, so it wasn't showing that I was still growing, but he was growing, and he grew past me, so it wasn't...
And this turned into a fight?
Well, so here's the problem. It's like,
I'm going to call Dave Sifri and get him in on this.
You ruin our So what's actually kind of interesting is, I mean, this brought out a lot of, like, our more deeper fundamental, like, philosophies, you know, and I tend to be sort of a pragmatist in some ways. I mean, I'm a ridiculous idealist, which maybe that makes no sense. But, you know, I'm originally from the East Coast, and yet I have a lot of, like, West Coast leanings. And so I'm kind of a mishmash of cultures. But, you know, I don't tend to get a lot of meaning of life out of, you know, Technorati. I mean, it's interesting and it's neat. And it's a good index, you know, of where you're at, maybe in a certain, you know, 15 people. But,
he's lying.
I mean, it's like the weather, you know. I mean, you can look outside and, like, get an idea of what's going on, you know, or you can, like, turn on the TV and see the weather channel. I mean, you know, six and one half dozen the other. But anyway, so she was, like, really worried about this. And I kind of was like, you know, there's, like, I don't know. We basically boiled down to, like, the meaning of life discussion or something. And we disagreed.
So let me get.
It went from Technorati to the meaning of life. Wait a minute, how's that work?
It's a very Monty Python-esque type of line of thought here.
Well, I don't know how it got there, but the title of my post was Technorati and the Meaning of Life. So as we talked about it, it was like, well, it is important because of. Oh, it's just, you know, to, like, measure your impact in the blogosphere, and that's where our voices are now, and as part of, you know, being, you know, part of producing community, being, like, the amateur producers sort of thing. It's like you're measuring how big your impact is. And for me, I've since examined it, but it was pretty important to me, especially being a newbie to the San Francisco area and not having enjoyed it previous to that. So started thinking about it as, like, you know, it really it gives me the ability to put my ideas across and to start to put together a larger community.
Well, I think that my argument was sort of taking, and I don't know if I'm absolutist in this sense, but that you should do whatever you want to do anyways, regardless of what Technorati says. Yes. And so...
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like, obviously you don't want to be writing just to get, you know, Technorati credit or whatever, because the point is that people will read you because you're interesting, period, and because you're doing things that are genuine and authentic. And that was kind of like my baseline point. Like, if Technorati went away tomorrow, if blogging went away, if, like, there was some, you know, radio wave that knocked everything out, you know, we'd still have to figure out what the hell we're going to do with ourselves. Right. And
somehow, I don't know how this, and he's right, and I totally agree, but somehow this got to be, I don't know, there was, like, a question. It was like, I talked about, you know, kind of him being right and having faith, and faith is what really is the core to, like, our meaning in life. Is like, okay, we have faith that what we're doing is actually going to, you know, is the right thing and to change the world. And then he was like, faith is stupid. I've given up faith. I'm like, how could you give up faith? Like, what the hell do you have to live for if you don't have faith?
Chocolate.
Well, that too. I remember one of the bigger things I think that really sort of, added a lot of tension to the issue. And that was, I think I said that whether life has meaning or not makes no difference. And basically, hold on. See, so like I said, yeah. So this,
you got time. You can back yourself up.
Well, you know, and this is I don't know if we came to the realization that we don't really disagree on this point. It's just that I take a very different approach to arriving at the same thing. Right. So what we had said and what we agreed on is that, you know, I go 1 + 3 = 4 and she goes 2 + 2 = 4. And it sounds like a different thing, but it's really arriving at the same point. So,
yeah, because in the end, we both believe there is something. We just don't have, like, oh, it is this, like, there. We don't. It's not that it is the meaning of life. He just looks at it that it's not, he doesn't like the term faith. It's, it kind of came down to more of semantics rather than, and for me, faith has no religious affiliation. It's just faith is faith. And I think that's where it was. But at one point in this argument, we're like in Starbucks walking away from each other in like a huff. Like, over the meaning of life in Technorati, we're walking away from each other in this total huff. And we, you know, we resolved everything. And then I blogged about it, actually, after he blogged. He didn't mention the argument, but he did. Oh, yeah, I guess he did, because it was like this totally raw, beautiful post that he put out there. Like, he had been thinking about faith and meaning, and all of a sudden he was like, oh my God, you know, you're right. Like, it is important to me to have like a meaning. And so that was his way of, you know, reaching out to me without, like, he didn't email me. He didn't, you know, call me. I just publicly went, God, Tara, maybe you're right. Maybe, like, they're, you know. And so my response was the Technorati and the Meaning of Life post, you know.
And how much did Dave Sifri send you guys for this?
That sounds like some massive PR there. Love and Technorati, Meaning of Life. You just can't get better than that. That's just an amazing
killer
post.
Tag.
Dave Sifri, still, every time I run into him, forgets who I am. So I
oh, he's so going to get busted for that one. He's not going to forget now. So that, was that the first time you guys had actually come out publicly on your blogs and stated that you were in a relationship? Or have you... Well, you must have officially done it by now.
Oh, yeah. Well, a couple of things sort of led up to the... You know, we trickled our way out until... I think we had another post that was... Well, no, but as far as, like, coming out that we're together, it sort of trickled out that we started linking madly back and forth to each other. It was like...
So she has this thing, which has taken me a long time to getting used to, which is the idea that links equal love.
Yeah.
And I've tended to be a very private person, especially in my relationships, for a very long time. And it's been very hard for me to kind of, let's say, open up. Especially to the whole internet about, you know, to some degree, my love life. Yeah, I mean, like, I my blog has actually been very interesting in its evolution, in that it used to be, you know, about explaining my Flickr photos and designs, and then it was about my work, and it was about things I was passionate about. And, you know, for someone that I'm in love with, like, it's kind of hard when you're like, okay, you're blogging about all things you're passionate about, but not me. Like, what's the trade-off there? What the hell is going on? And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, like it's one of those things that I'd love to blog about, but I'm actually afraid to. Like, I'm really concerned about it, because I don't want someone, like, coming after you and, like, you know, saying things and doing things, and like, this is mine. This is the one thing that, like, I keep to myself.
Well, it's I think, you know, you can be passionate about mesh networks, and you can put yourself out there and say how passionate you are, and it doesn't make you as vulnerable as when you are in love with someone. I mean, as you guys well know, it's like the most vulnerable feeling ever. You know?
Just don't go to Maui and you'll be fine. Trust me, it's hell for lovers. Just trust.
Don't talk about washing dishes either, because it'll just create a fight as well.
What about washing dishes? I wash dishes.
Don't start.
I didn't start it. You're the one who brought it up. Did she? Yeah, she does it. She says
you brought it.
She
early.
Brings it up. No. You bring it up, and then you say, "Don't start." She started it.
No, you brought it.
Hon, I can rewind the recording. I brought up Maui. Maui has nothing to do
with
dishes.
The dishes automatically come up.
Since when?
That's it. See, this is what they have to look forward to, right? How far are we into the game? We're like
3 years.
Oh my God,
we're 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years now.
Yeah, we're 3 years.
And how long have you guys been together now?
5 months. Yeah.
Ooh, boy. Yeah, see, you guys are going to be arguing about it. You're going to have your Maui, and you're going to have your dishes, and have you...
We have Technorati and the Meaning of Life already, so that's... I mean, you know there's more inane things coming down the pipe to fight about, for sure. Although, I think, you know, as far as fights go, Meaning of Life is a pretty good one. Yeah.
It's a pretty good one. I think Ponzi and I, actually, we kind of... I think initially we had a little bit of disagreement on religious things and spiritual things, but I think ultimately we kind of agree on that point now. And actually, that's something I think you evolved into more than me. I think I was already at a point where you're now at with spirituality. because she grew up, I mean, not to speak for her, but she grew up in a household where it was both Christian and Buddhist. So she straddled that fence, and at one point in her life, she had to make that decision, like, which way. And I grew up a certain way. I grew up Catholic, and then I grew up. So, sorry, not to offend all the Catholic listeners. That's my joke. That's my one-liner. That's my zing. So ultimately, and I'm not a very religious person, but I do have some type of idea that there's something happening. And we actually discovered that, I think, actually after going to a couple of really weird conferences, like on UFOs and the weird stuff that happens. That was kind of how we started thinking a little bit more about what was going on. That's how we hit it, but so didn't make it a blog post.
I'm just thinking, how are you going to tag this podcast? Because there's like UFO.
It's all about love. No, it's just going to be love.
Okay, I'm just wondering, because I'm thinking about all the different things that.
Well, love has a lot of things to it, not just dishes and technorati and everything.
So I have a question. Have you guys thought about how much you're going to share, or what you're going to share, or what your boundaries are? Do you have boundaries? Are you just going to be open and free and be who you are, and everybody has to take it for what it is?
In the blogosphere, not with yourselves, right?
Wherever.
No, wherever?
In the blogosphere, in the blogosphere.
Why don't you answer this first, because I'm really interested.
Yeah. Yeah, she would be interested. I think that the best answer is that it's going to play out over time, which is a pretty boring answer. But maybe the more interesting answer is, you know, as much as we can take it, I guess. I don't ever want to get to a point where I'm afraid to blog something, you know, and I want to be proud of the things that I blog, and I want to be able to look back and say, you know what, like, even if it was something that I, you know, was mad when I wrote or totally drunk or, you know, whatever, that I can look back and be like, okay, so that was a point in time, and that there's no skeletons in the closet that weren't resolved. You know, and that's going to be a challenge, but in terms of us maintaining, like, a solid foundation and a solid relationship, I mean, I want to be proud of everything, like, the whole story that we put out there. And that to me, plays into more about how I am and how I run my life and how our relationship goes, that will first drive what ends up being my blog, you know, rather than, like, worrying about fighting and stuff like that. Like, if I strive to be a decent individual or whatever, then the stuff that gets published is going to be stuff that, you know, I have a lot of faith in, you know, confidence in. So hopefully, you know, we won't get to the point where we're so, you know, small with each other that, you know, we're like poking at each other and, ah, you didn't link to me, and ah, you didn't take the trash out, and you know, why is this only 4 tags, not 5, you know? But I think that we have a lot bigger things that we're working on that we don't have enough time to really, you know, get to that point. So I don't know.
And really, I mean, I think almost instantly we've had, with our connection, we've had pretty strong trust. I mean, as far as being 5 months into a relationship, it's stronger trust than I think I've ever had in a relationship. We still have a ways to go, but I trust what Chris is going to put out there. I love it when I mean, every now and then he totally floors me. He'll post something like when he went to LA. Just, you know, I looked for in my email box for an email from him to say, you know, I arrived safely, and instead he had put up a post saying, you know, that he's got something special and a picture of me, and it was like that totally floored me, and it was like really sweet. But I also trust him that if he has an issue with me, and he can trust me as well, that we talk offline about that. You know, I don't ever want to have to get to the point that if our communication does break down so badly that we have to, like, solicit, you know, advice from our readers, then we need to go see somebody, I think, is like, and I'm not referring to, I just realized that I'm totally not referring to anything else.
Oh, we're seeing somebody. We're seeing someone on the side. Yeah, there's another woman in this relationship.
Yeah, I mean, and I think every couple should seek that too anyways, just for communication. But it's hard, like, and I really, I don't know. I admire Chris so much and what he's doing. And, I mean, he's my hero, you know, as well as my partner in crime, we call ourselves. So,
have you guys started sharing each other's language? So, like, do you make up words for something and only you have those words, and then the other person, like, this this isn't chapstick. It's chapstick. It's lip mookie. So I now that's my word. It's mookie. If anything, it's like sticky or gooey.
The worst one that I took from you is the little whale. Whenever I take the little carry-on suitcase,
yeah, it's a little whale. Like a big suitcase rolling, it's a whale. So a little whale. So she asked for the little whale. What was the other one you said the other day? You mispronounced something that was totally wrong because I mispronounced it. Oh, fuck. F-C-U-K. I was calling it fuck. You know, what is it?
Brand.
French Connection. So she gets on the phone to the operator and says, I need the number for the fuck store in New York. And I started laughing because she corrected me when I started calling it, but I was just calling it fuck. And she corrected me, and by the time she got to her, in her mind, it was fuck.
Okay.
So do you have any of those words that you've shared now like that? Or can you think of any that your language has invaded the other person's brain?
I definitely talk a lot more Canadian now. I mean, for one thing.
Yes.
Ish. I say, yeah, we say ish a lot.
Yeah, for me, ish, everything's, I'm happy-ish. I'm going over there later-ish. Yeah, so he's picked that
up. Yeah, we're very approximate in everything
that
we do.
Yeah.
You know, it's very fuzzy, so. And we've coined quite a few terms, actually. Yeah, I mean, like San Francisco socializing. When we were in Paris, actually, like there's just this phenomenon of people like getting their laptops out and like, you know, being social while being on computers, you know.
Mostly us. Mostly like the geeks in San Francisco. And so we're trying to spread that whole way of communicating across the world, this San Francisco social style.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it really is sort of a valid way to connect. I mean, like, back in the day, I can imagine, you know, the previous generation would, like, be sitting around, like, you know, somebody's doing the taxes and somebody's, you know, writing up some, you know, document or something, and you're across the table from each other and you're working, you know. And for us, I mean, like, it's a thing that we do, and the laptops are kind of like, you know, part of it, you know. So they're part of that communication thing. And then you want to talk about PIC?
Yeah, PIC, which is Partner in Crime. It started once again in Paris. We had a lot of stuff started. Paris is a hotbed for imagination, I guess. But Partners in Crime, because we weren't quite ready to like come out as that we're actually together. We were calling each other a sort of code name, Partner in Crime. Oh, I'd like to invite my partner in crime to that, or I'll be accompanied by my partner in crime. And so people could take that as just, you know, a friend or whatever. And then I think Chris got back from, I went on to London, he got back from Paris, and he said, oh, I met a new partner in crime. You'll have to meet him when you get back. And I was like, I don't know if you didn't pick that up when we were in Paris, but partner in crime didn't exactly mean what you're just implying that it meant, or if it did, maybe we should talk. So ever since then, large P, small I, large C, is sort of what we refer to each other on our blogs. And when his blog went down, he did some PIC blogging over on my blog. So
now you tag some of your posts or all your posts where you talked about each other or talk about each other, love 2.0. What do you think is love 2.0? Is there such a thing as love 2.0, or is it just as ethereal as web 2.0?
You know, I think, I guess the best way to look at it is that, you know, It's a lot of the 2.0 stuff, and a lot of stuff that like we felt a lot of enthusiasm about, or at least, you know, when I was first getting into like the 2.0 stuff before it became sort of like an anti-meme, there was a lot of hope and optimism, you know, because we're returning to something that was really like core and essential, right? I mean, it's like Hallmark, right? And that's kind of the feeling that I get, you know, from it, that it's like we don't want your brand of love. We don't want you to tell us what it is. We don't want you to sell us songs that tell us how we feel about somebody else. Like, we're coming back to the way that we are and the way that we understand, you know, this love to be. And we're going to write about it. And we're going to tell people about it because you need an alternative source of understanding what the feelings are that you're feeling. And so when you put it out there, you're actually telling other people that, you know, we don't buy into the mainstream version of love that has everybody, you know, unhappy by their, you know, fifth year of marriage. Personally, you know, I want to hold on to what makes this thing tick, what makes us individuals, what keeps us happy, constantly questioning what's going on. It's like, I mean, look at the lessons from open source and what they've done there by just putting things out there, by letting the source flow, letting people actually, you know, use building blocks and reuse those in whatever ways that make sense. We've got a ton of stuff to learn from other people. I mean, from you guys, you know.
No. You have nothing to learn from us. Well, in fact, what you have to learn from us is learning nothing from us. Or try to be the opposite of us.
If we're you know, like 5 months into this, we've got a long way to go, you know? And I don't ever want to get to the point where I'm taking anything for granted. And I think watching what other couples go through and seeing how they deal with it, I mean, your Maui experience, you know, was something that she sent to me right away. And, you know, that was my first...
It arrived on the blogosphere.
And, you know, like, I'm just... My head is, like, in such other things, you know, that I was like, oh, hello, like, you know, need to focus on this, like, you know, pressing, okay, drop everything kind of stuff.
We shocked a lot of people that day.
Well, it was just interesting because, I mean, I never imagined myself to, like, be in a position where my relationship would be public, where people would talk about it, where people would know about it. And now I think... I have no problem with that because I'm really proud of our relationship and I like it. And just like, it's swell. Yeah. Just like a lot of the other things that I work on, you know, I want people to know about them because people that are passionate about things are interesting. And, you know, I'm not going to, I think I need to get beyond the point of hiding something because I'm afraid of sharing it and just put it out there and trust that the right things are going to happen. And if they don't, then I'm going to, you know, we'll figure it out and we'll correct after that.
For me, love 2.0 means everything that Chris said, but it also is, you know, our new, like, the generation that we're in, the life lived online, the new ways of expressing our affection, the whole links equals love. I mean, I did a love 2.0, a couple of posts that were about how this is, how relationships are evolving online in a very public sphere. It's a way of recording us, the story of us, very openly, very out there, the good, bad, and the ugly. And having something to look back on and having, you know, your grandkids or whoever to be able to look back and see this story. I mean, I don't have that story from my grandmother and my grandfather. Like, it would have been so nice to, you know, be able to see, like, a account of when they were meeting, the feelings that they had. I only knew them when they were really old, and then they were gone, and the story was lost. And what's really beautiful is that we get to record our life together now, you know, out there, and have people, like, be involved in it. And it's really, I mean, we've had nothing but positive, you know, positive feedback when it comes to, like, us being out there. I think partially for Chris because he is so guarded. I think even the guys that read him have been very inspired and actually gone back to their blogs and said, you know, Chris over there said this about Tara, so I should put up my picture, my lovely girlfriend and my lovely wife, and tell her how much I love her right now. Like, he's inspired, and I love that. That is so amazing. And you know, or they get on there and they give him advice. You know, I think one post,
that's the worst.
The one post, he said, I don't, you know, what do I do with such an amazing woman? And so he had a whole string of...
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that was a torrent of comments.
Yeah, well, some of the advice I advised him to not follow. But, no, it's nice. And it's nice to have the record and to be out there. And, you know, I mean, our community goes further than our neighbors now. Our community... reaches all over the world to the people that they read us regularly because they care, you know, to read. Some, they're trolls that I don't know why they take the energy to read us every day if they hate us so much. But you know, most of the people that read us actually care about us as human beings. So.
Well, we'll be watching your careers with great interest. That was Emperor Palpatine there, babe. Because you said Jedi Master, I was
being all lovey-dovey, you know, after seeing, look how cute they are. They still look...
Oh, you don't think we're cute?
The goo-goo-gaga thing.
The what?
I want you to look at me with the goo-goo-gaga.
I do. What did I tell you this morning? I was laying in bed. You were, like, shoving eggs in your face.
Well, babe, you can't say it like that, because then...
Okay, you were gently scooping eggs and eating them. You were masticating.
You're making me lose it. I was, like, feeling all lovey-dovey. I'm looking at them going, aw, I mean,
what did I tell you? What did I tell you? What did I say? What did I say this morning?
You're ruining it.
But what did I say?
You said you love me.
And then so how's that ruining it?
What did I say? What did I say? Tell them what I said now.
What did you say?
You tell them what I said.
You tell me what you said.
You tell them what I said.
No, because I forgot.
I said, what's going on? Oh, my God. You said you love me 2 times in 2 days.
She thought it was odd. She was freaked out on the plane when I turned to her. I turned to her the plane. We were flying it out of Dallas to Austin, and I said, I love you. And she looks at me, just kind of this, like, unbelievable, like, what? Like, what's going on? Why? You know, like, and she said, I just can't believe you said that. Why did you say that? And she said, and then she said, I love you, too. So it's just kind of funny. I know I don't say it we don't say it. We don't say it frequently enough. Usually what I get instead of her way of saying I love you is, come and love me up. I need to be loved up. Well, that's what she says.
That's a good thing.
I know, but that's how... See, I am able... As a man, I'm able to translate without, you know, looking at it literally. I'm able to translate what it means.
Okay, you don't understand. Most men would love to have that.
No one's saying that I don't love to have that. But what I'm saying is I'm able to translate that as...
Tell me you love me, too. When you give me the 100 things, that was awesome.
Right, but I tell you I love you in other ways.
Yes.
Yes, but I'm just saying, I'm able to see that even though you don't say it, that's what you're saying.
I think we should stop talking and kiss more.
Chris Perillo Show coverage of South by Southwest is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. Use coupon code Chris2 and save $5 on any purchase of $30 or more at GoDaddy.com. That's CHRIS and the number 2 to save $5. Get your piece of the internet today at GoDaddy.com.